Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's Managed Hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Lowe's knows you want the best for dad. This Father's Day, help him take on any project with big deals on DeWalt. Right now, get a free XR 8 amp hour battery when you buy select DeWalt tools. That's not all. Get up to 2 free select tools when you buy a select DeWalt 20 volt max battery kit. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a work load is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button if you're not already. I'll give you new interviews just like this one every single week so you can keep up with all of your favorite artists, discover some new ones. You can grab us Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating and a review while you're hanging around. We've had some great guests drop by lately. Aulili Cravalho, you know her as the voice of Moana. She was also recently in Cabaret. We talked about both of those. Lenny Warrenker, one of the industry legends. He ran Warner Brothers when they dropped Purple Rain and Tom Petty's Wildflowers. John Densmore from The Doors was here. Hannah John Common, you know her as Ghost in Thunderbolts. Gene Simmons of Kiss. Kevin Bacon, Jennifer Nettles of Sugarland, Adam Duritz of Counting Crows, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, it's a rewind, a double feature, in fact, Imperial Teen and Rainer Maria, two indie bands who prove that sincerity and style aren't mutually exclusive. Imperial Teen, formed in the mid-90s as the offhand side project of Faith No More's keyboardist Roddy Bottom, turned into a San Francisco sugar high factory of harmonies, hand claps, and slyly subversive lyrics, pop music with a queer wink and power chords. Their debut, Seasick, even had them opening up for Hole. Rainer Maria, meanwhile, emerged out of Madison, Wisconsin, like a Midwestern fever dream of emotional tension and guitar haze, one of the few female-fronted bands in the male-heavy emo scene. They wrapped hearts in barbed wire and called it love. Their self-titled debut as Poetry in Combat Boots, Look Now, Look Again, basically raised a generation of MFA students. And we'll start this rewind back in 2012 with Imperial Teen. We recorded this sort of backstage, well, in a hotel room, actually, in South by Southwest that year, 2012, when they had just released their album Feel the Sound. And we got to talk about everything from being an influence on younger bands and how the band shifts as a priority the older and busier that you get. Part one in this rewind episode. It's Kyle Meredith with Imperial Teen.
Thanks, Kyle. Yeah. This is a nice comeback. You guys have done this for a while, but it seemed like in 2007 even was an important year because it was sort of the comeback that time. Now we've had a few years in between once again, and here you are again. Does this festival mean something to you guys?
Well, we've played it several times, and I guess our comebacks weren't nice. We didn't really think of as comebacks. That's just the best we could do, is to get another record out, you know. But It's fun to be here.
South by Southwest is always a great place just to run into old friends and see a lot of people all at the same time. Everybody's here. It's a real energy. Lots of energy, so that's always fun. We love coming to South by Southwest.
Yeah, it's a neat place to be. Just as a music fan, it's really fantastic to come here and to be able to, like, see bands.
Sure.
You know, you forget, like, what we do is so work intensive. Like, we're playing a lot of shows, doing a lot of interview stuff. But, like, the bottom line is, yeah, we're around a lot of music people and we get to see a lot of music. It's really cool.
How do you guys do it? Two ways to see South by, so I've found you either look at the schedule and you're like, I've got to be here and this time, here and this time, or are you on the other end where you just kind of fall in and out of places and, you know, discover the music?
Well, we look at our schedule and then see what we could fit in there. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's a lot of traffic here, so it's kind of like, whatever's close by, you know,
we're staying by Waterloo Records, so mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, that's what kind of came up. We're driving, it's like, let's make it easy on ourselves, right. Look up what's playing at Waterloo for the next couple of days, and I mean, that in itself, that'll be really great.
They have great lineups every time.
Yeah, so. We'll go and see shows across the street.
That's handy.
Yeah.
We're playing a couple of places, there's bands after us, and we don't have anything to do, so let's hang around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a proximity factor for sure too. Like the Merge Showcase, they're all bands that we like, so we'll stick around the Merge Showcase tomorrow and watch all our label mate bands.
Yeah. So this is great. You guys have been doing this for a while now, and one of the interesting things is seeing what you guys were doing, you know, back in the 90s, and then to come back and, you know, for all the bands that have come after, there's been lots of bands that seem like they have been influenced by you guys, that you guys are now, for lack of the better title, you are the indie godfathers and godmothers.
Veterans
of the last decade, because, you know, that's when, you know, what we took as lo-fi and underground of the 90s became indie rock of the aughts.
Right.
Have you guys been able to step back and see that and say, yeah, we kind of helped on that?
Oh,
it's never occurred to me.
Like that. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a mix of, like, I mean, it's flattering to think that people would, like, kind of try and emulate what we do, but I kind of
never thought.
I really never thought. And then also, like, the flip side of it, I think we're so unique. We just have our own thing that's untouchable.
But it's more so when bands tell you that, you know, they listen to you and they were, you know, coming up, that that you get a sense of that. But yeah, once in a while you see a band with, like, two guys and two women, and your thing, and a lot of harmonies. And,
sure. That could have.
I wonder if they have ever listened to us or something.
Well, you guys did come up in such a unique scene when you were coming out. Are you guys cool with the way, like, rock has happened? You know, where indie rock and all that went. I mean, was that, you know, something that was exciting to you guys, or on the flip side, where it's like, you know, this is all emulating the 80s and everything else. You know.
Oh.
I listen
cool
to mostly, like, a lot of College Radio or XM, like, satellite radio, so that's been great. I mean, I'm just always excited by new music. I don't really think of it, I don't analyze it so much, like, where we were in the scene and what's happening. I mean, I know there's a lot of conversation about, you know, there's no more big labels and people are selling stuff out of the back of their bands now, and that's been going on for quite some time. And I think it's a great opportunity for these bands to be able to get so much... be seen, you know, and heard. It's great.
Well,
I mean, so many younger bands, not young people, but just bands that haven't been around as long as we have, they're really inspiring to me and to us.
And you don't really have control over the way things unfold. It's more so the culture and the economy that dictates, you know, the way music is going to be made and presented.
Right.
And perceived. It surprises me, like, what actually flies out there. Like, it's really exciting to me that, like, weird bands get, you know, applauded as much as they do. Like, just like like White Stripes as an example. Like, that's such a weird band, you know? And they're so great. They're someone that we really love. But the fact that they were, like, embraced by so many people, that says such a great thing, I think, about, like, you know, music fans and, like, the music scene. Yeah, it's really neat, you know, that really great weird music will kind of rise to the top. It's fantastic.
It did seem like there was a time where that was seemed to be, would have been impossible.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we were growing up, at least us three were a little bit older than Will, but, like, when we liked little punk rock bands, they would never, ever be, like, popular. We like these weird little bands, like even like back in the day, like Black Flag or weird punk rock bands that were so underground and, you know, not really that championed.
Right.
Even the Pixies, you know, for most of their career were just a little band, you know.
What's the band that's huge now? It's on the tip of my tongue, the girl singer and the guitars with the 10 Marshall amps. Come on.
Was it Sleigh Bells?
Sleigh Bells.
Sleigh Bells, yeah, yeah.
I love them, but they're crazy.
Right.
Their music
and still getting all that attention,
and
yeah.
And they're like, they're getting so much attention.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of music that isn't so melodic or structured. And that's pretty interesting, you know, that is getting a bigger audience. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And we'll be right back right after this.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Imperial Teen.
The other thing that the critics are loving to point out right now about the new CD, and it is kind of really fascinating when, once again, compare and contrast. Here you all are, how many records deep into this?
Five.
It's our
fifth record. And maybe this is the best one ever. I mean, you know, once you and that's not saying anything about the other ones, but you know, you find artists get complacent the further they get in their career, but it seems like you actually guys really did put a lot of work into this, crafting these meticulous pop songs, you know, to make them everything they could be. I mean, it might be an obvious question, but is this still that important, you know, when you're doing this?
It has to be for us, because it's so difficult for us to get together. We don't live in the same town.
Yeah.
We don't live in the same state. We all have really active, busy, full lives. We've got some kids involved here. And you know, it's like there's lots of factors. And so just for us to get together takes a lot of work. So it has to be. It has to become a priority for all of us.
Yeah.
It's really important to us.
Yeah.
And it's important I don't think we would allow ourselves to two steps forward, one step back. I mean, we always want to stay ahead of ourselves as far as songwriting and not settling for something that we don't think, that we don't want people to hear.
Was it hard writing separately?
No, we wrote together.
Oh, you did write together.
Most of although this record, I mean, our last release was like about 4.5-5 years ago. We started writing some of these songs like 3 years ago. And so just because, as Joan said, you know, just getting us in one town and one practice studio is difficult. So it was the slow writing process, but eventually.
So with life and with you all spread out, anything, is the band still like the main priority, or do you have to kind of prioritize at this point?
Sophie,
my little 13-year-old poodle dog, is the priority right now. No, I mean,
it's all one of our, you know, for all of us, it's one of our priorities.
One of the top of the list.
Spend a lot of time on it, and you know.
Recently, I feel like I have to compartmentalize a little bit because things are so busy. You know, I have my own business. I just bought a house. I have a band. I have a record. I'm South by Southwest. So I just think about whatever it is I'm doing. Like right now, Imperial Teen, South by Southwest. I'm not thinking about my business. I'm not thinking about anything else except for what I'm doing in the moment, which is kind of a different way of living for me, because sometimes I'm planning all over the place, but it's good to live in the moment, you know? But yeah, I got a very compartmentalized life. Right now I'm in this compartment with you.
And we don't have the luxury.
And I'm happy about it.
Touring, you know, and then also I'm so glad we don't have the luxury of touring, because we can't really do that. It's just not possible. We'll do some snippets here, like different parts of the country we'll hit, you know, on long weekends, etc. And maybe we'll get a week or two stint if we're lucky, but you know, it's different from when we first started out, you know, when you go on tour. But as Joan said, when we're together, this is it.
That's it.
There's nobody that gets to come in. It's
it's great to hear, though.
Yeah.
Some bands find it so difficult to write one great hook, and it just seems like they fall out of you guys. I mean, hooks, you know, when you're writing these, you know, the style of pop songs, you know, to have a hook is probably one of the most important, but there are tons of them on the record. How hard is it to get to that point, or is this really just a natural train of thought? this is how you write.
It's absolutely a natural chain of thought. I mean, I think when you start thinking about in terms of like, I want to write a hook, I think you probably get in trouble. I don't know, maybe it works for some people who calculated, like, let's write a hook. But the best way that we write music is we're just together and we sort of sing, you know, and just play off each other, and it just happens naturally what we do. I wouldn't even like, I mean, I guess, yeah, it's hook. People do say hooky a lot, or like, oh, that's the song, they're so catchy. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I guess so. I don't really know.
Yeah, we're all just really into melody and, you know, pop music, and it comes naturally, I think. Yeah, but it's not
contrived.
I mean, that's great, though. I mean, like I said, so many people will try for that. And
yeah.
Just don't come anywhere close.
I mean, I can't imagine the pressure of trying to write a hook.
Sure.
Like, yeah.
You know, I mean, I can't imagine it, but like, it's like, it's not something that I think we've never discussed or like mapped out.
And individually, you know, we all have such specific musical tastes, you know, and we don't necessarily all listen to the same types of music. And so I think just with that sense coming in, and then we know kind of like our sound,
right?
You know, so it becomes like we are able to create this sound that, and we all have to like it or it goes.
But you try for a good song, you know, a song that you feel connected to, and I love pop hooks, you know, and I think that's what we kind of are drawn towards.
Did the themes come easy this time around, as far as lyrical content, you know, when you're looking for to what to write about?
It came easily,
We all go through, I mean, personally, and, you know, I mean, collectively, we all go through, like, it's been, you know, a couple of years since our last record, and so we've all had, you know, dramatic episodes and times and, like, you know, struggles and triumphs, and it all pretty much comes out, I think, when we write lyrics.
Yeah, it doesn't always come so easily, but there was a lot of bouncing lyrical ideas off of each other, and it really just flowed for some reason. I don't know why.
Well, it's made for a extremely fun record, even if there were trauma involved. So if you can turn that into something we can all dance to, more power.
Great. Right.
So thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Kyle. Thanks for having us.
All right.
Yeah, thanks, bro.
And we'll be right back right after this. All right, welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith. So now on our rewind stop, we'll jump up to 2017. That's when I hopped on the phone with Rainer Maria, who were reuniting. They had called it a day back in 2006, just months after releasing their record, Catastrophe Keeps Us Together. But ironic, right? It would take 8 years for the trio to make a live reunion, which did eventually turn into conversations about new music. We got to talk about that return with the powerful self-titled record that they put out around that time. We discuss what it took to get them back together, returning to a very different music industry that they had left, and of course the larger themes within the album. Part two of this Rewind episode, this is Kyle Meredith with Rainer Maria.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm really excited about this. I didn't know this day was going to come. Let's talk about what led to this moment, because I guess it was, I don't know, to this album, it was like a 3-year road back to you guys releasing a record, but it doesn't look like you guys were in a big rush. I mean, 3 years of just playing shows, like, what took it to get to here? What happened to get finally to the record?
Well, I mean, there's like both circumstance and like intention involved. Like circumstantially, we all were finally in the same place in the same time, you know? I mean, after we stopped playing before, briefly that was the case for a little while, and then everyone's lives took them really different directions, and people spent time out of the country or in other states or preoccupied on a full-time basis with other endeavors, musical and personal and educational otherwise. So the first thing that was required before we could have the intention to play was we all had to get back to the same space. And so that happened, that we were all in or close enough to New York. And then Caitlin wrote about, like, oh, someone asked me if Rainer Maria would be available to play a show for this one thing. And so that got us to talking, and we thought, oh, well, we managed to all decide. We had all had dinner in Brooklyn, which was great. I'm not sure, but I think it was actually the first time that all three of us were in one room together since the last show at North Six back in the day, I think. I'm not sure, but that's my memory. Even though we'd all run into each other in different other contexts individually. And so then we got together, and there was a lot of excitement to see one another and a lot of, obviously, a shared love of our music. And then, but the thing about shows is kind of like, that was like, well, there's all these logistical issues, and if we're going to play one show, you might as well play a dozen, because it's about as much trouble to prepare for one as to prepare for a bunch. And do we really want to do that? Is this a nostalgia thing? What is that? And then the idea was like, oh, well, what if we, like, made a record? And then that kind of, like, everyone woke up and was like, hey, wait a minute. That's interesting. I think, because there was really some shared appreciation for the singularity of this Raina Maria music when the three of us get in the room, you know? So once that idea came, got sort of floated, then it was thought, then we started to talk, you know, in more detail about, well, how would we do that? And what would it mean? William had a practice space in Brooklyn. Our old practice space in Connecticut had also become available. So we decided to kind of play some music, and we got together and just started making new music right away. It was almost a year or something before we played any old songs. It wasn't until we finally booked the New Year's Eve show at the Bowery Ballroom that we actually were like, well, I guess we should play those old tunes. It was really focused on new music, and that was really cool, you know, and what was the draw, I think, for all of us was the creativity, the shared creativity.
What's funny is you hear a lot of reasons why bands break up and why bands get together. I don't know that I've specifically ever heard of a time where a band got together, back together, just because of proximity. You know, as a fan, you know, oh, we had to wait for this just to get, and all we had to do was get you guys in the same place. I think there are some people would have been like throwing you over their shoulder to put you there in that position. So it's,
they would have had to find us first.
True enough. So you guys, you know, you start working on new music, and then you go back and finally do the old songs. The songs on the record, are they all new ideas, or were there some of those that you guys went back into the vault and kind of picked up and pulled back out?
Oh, there's one song, and it's the last song on the album that was most definitely at least conceived in, you know, way back in the day, and we pulled from the vault. I was getting ready to move apartments in Brooklyn, and I was, you know, pulling out boxes that I hadn't been opened in probably, you know, 10 years or so. And there was a case of mini discs, and I was like going through them, and one of them said Rainer 2011 January some date rehearsal. So I was like, oh,
2001, right?
Yeah, it was like 2001. And I listened to it, and it was just like this incredible song. And it was just one piece. It was like one, you know, one idea. Like, and even just like the start of that idea that we had done that, I mean, I had long forgotten about. I don't know if Kai or Kate, you had remembered it once you heard it again, but I was like, this is amazing. And I, you know, I brought it. I think I probably just like emailed the file around, and I was like, this is really cool. So it was fun to revisit that, you know, for sure. And also, you know, it wasn't complete. So it was kind of, you know, the idea was there, but we finished writing a song that we, you know, initially conceived in 2001. And we thought that was a really cool, I know, you know, thing to put on the album. And really, it ended up being a really cool way to end the album, you know, to have it be the final song. So it definitely means a lot to me, for sure. And
yeah,
to the band, to be able to have done that.
I don't ever expect any band to sound anywhere near the same sometimes, especially when you take this many years in between. But as I see, you know, you guys may be the same people, but you're definitely not sort of the same band this time around. Like, there's easy things to point out, like it's a bigger sound, it's a fuller sound, but this definitely does seem more, you know, sometimes it's a continuation bands try to pick up, but this seems more like a solid chapter two or an entire new book for you guys, which is, you know, really exciting. Thinking about where you left off, like, you guys left off what I would call the blog years, you know, that's sort of who was ruling the internet state of music at that point. But when you come back, like, you're definitely in the streaming wars. And does it feel like an entire new ball game for you guys?
I mean, it does. It does and it doesn't. I mean, we were, you know, it's not like we completely fell off the face of the planet. I mean, still listen to music, you know, playing music as well. So we're aware of what's going on. But yeah, being on the, you know, the Raina Maria side, like trying to recontextualize the band, or at least kind of seeing how people are, you know, treating our band and the way people are, you know, kind of like finding out about the music and things like that. I mean, that's definitely new for Raina Maria, but also that's kind of helped facilitate a smooth transition into, you know, the teens has been Polyvinyl. because they've been around all along and they've become this incredibly like successful independent record label. And being able to work with someone who is that on top of it and that well versed in, you know, the current climate has made things very easy for us. So it's kind of been like the best of both worlds. We get to work with our old friends who have been at it this entire time and have only, you know, improved at what they're doing. So it's actually been really nice, and it's been really fun seeing the new memes, new technology, and the way it's implemented to get Ryan and Rhea out to everyone.
The other side I was thinking too, it's, you know, for a lot of causes that were championed back in the day, you know, from you all, from a lot of people, they were still sort of taboo things that have now all became really mainstream. A lot of the great parts that you were championing are part of the bigger conversation right now. And that's got to feel, I don't know, is there some sense of accomplishment that goes along with that? Like, you know, here we are and now it's finally happening, these conversations?
I think I do sense a feeling of gratitude that the conversations are happening and they've, you know, shifted. The conversations are happening in the places that they should be happening. So that's, I have a feeling of gratitude for that, absolutely.
Did that work too much? Did that work a lot into your lyrics this time around?
I think these lyrics are the most personal that I've ever written. So I'm certainly influenced by what's happening around me. I think I usually just keep lyric stuff more closer to the cuff.
I know there's one, and I apologize for taking it out of context because I'm fairly certain that I am. But when you get in the first song on the album and you have a line that says, "I don't want to fuck up." And I think that could say a lot about just trying to come back as Raina Maria, although it probably doesn't.
Right. Oh, and it's nice to let the listener interpret what they may from the lyrics. I like to not be attached to them once they're out there, and I don't need to get my personal meaning across. But certainly there's a sense of negotiation and questioning, and I mean that's just the way I tend to write lyrics, with open-ended questions and also some intentions certainly put in there.
Well, I love the songs. I think that's my definitive statement on this. You know, you like a band and then they say they're going to come back, and at one part you're really excited and the other part you're really frightened that it's not going to live up to whatever memory you have. And I'm so grateful and happy that this record is what it is, because it's really, really a lot of fun, and you know, it's just great. So thank you guys. Thank you all.
Taking the time and the kind words.
Well,
yeah.
I'll be looking forward to catching one of these shows, and you guys enjoy your time. Have a great year.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Kyle.
And there you have it. Raina Maria, thanks to them, and Imperial Teen. And thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you head out of here so you get new interviews just like this one sent your way every single week. You can grab us Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating and a review while you're at it. Those always help out so much. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting 6 p.m. Eastern. 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. In fact, one of my recent shows features some classics and favorites from The Replacements, Eddie Vedder, Bow Wow Wow, Yazoo, The Black Crowes, Emily Kinney, Nick Lowe, Yeah Yeah Yeahs, The Hives, Samia, Joan Jett, The Dandy Warhols, Michael Kiwanuka, and my interview with Lenny Kravitz. Tune in weeknights, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.